Right, now I think we're ready to hear from the two clubs. I think it was the Bowls Club that first asked. Are they lined up to go first?
Yes.
Very well. So it's Mr. Brad Parker. Is there anything he needs to do?
He needs to turn on his camera.
Mr. Parker, if you are there, turn on your camera, please. Should his name be listed there? Yes, he's there, his guest. There's Mr. Parker. Excellent. So, Mr. Parker, please unmute yourself if you can, or do we do that? Thank you, Mr. Parker. We can hear you. So, you know the drill. You have 5 minutes to inform us of the situation regarding the club, dividends, whatever you wish to tell us. And if you finish early, you will have time for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to talk tonight. My name is Brad Parker. I'm the president of the Edwardstown Bowling Club. Just a little overview of our club. We were formed in 1960, have built by the members the original club rooms on the Edwardstown grounds. So we've been a big community hub for a lot of groups, community groups, etc. Plus still with barefoot bowls. And a lot of, as I said, a lot of community groups that still use the rooms. So basically, we had our own club rooms, and myself believe in progression of things. We had an offer to go with the community club structure, which we listened to, of course. Heard that no affiliates were to be worse off from the community club project. Which was fine. Unfortunately, this hasn't quite happened. We've had issues from the start. When we saw the initial plans, it looked like we had a nice place and nice hub to be able to work with. Unfortunately, there were changes in structures of the building, which has left us with quite a small area to work with, which has been noticed by our visitors and also by our members. And we have lost members due to that. After going through the, we were in a little ATCO hut down at the near the memorial there. Once we moved into the club rooms themselves, we found that we had some issues with the initial facility management.
Can you hear me? Point of order has been taken by a councillor who wishes to move that we go into confidence, and therefore I have to consider that point. The reason is that you are rightly or wrongly, and you know you were there. I'm not discrediting you in any way, but referring in an adverse way to individuals, and I think that's the reason that one of the councillors considers that the deputation should be in confidence. So we have to deal with that. Please excuse me for a moment.
Sure.
You'll never hear this, but we'll just mute you for a moment. Councillor Schilling, you want to move a motion?
Look, Mr. Parker, it is nothing personal, but you have discussed some matters which aren't fully aware to the public.
But, Councillor, do you want, are you moving?
Yes, I'm moving. Yes. Can we go into confidence?
All right. Yeah. No, then.
So this has been strained at the moment.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
While the confidential motion has just been prepared, Councillor Schilling, please continue with your proposition.
As I said, it is nothing personal. I just feel that with some of the comments that have been made, It is not fully known to the public on some of those circumstances, and to give that person some confidence in their private life, because they are still a member of the community at large, we should respect that and we should move into confidence.
And there's things we haven't been told as well.
So there's one of the reasons under the Local Government Act is the matter of personal affairs.
Yes.
I think that sounds what Councillor Shin's referring to. So it has been moved. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, do you wish to add anything?
Oh, just to add, look, we are completely unaware of all these allegations. I'm aware that last one was a criminal allegation, which may be going through the court processes, which again is not something we can discuss in this court.
I'll just check that Ms. Moritz has adequately captured the relevant motion. Yes, that looks in order. So does anyone wish to speak against the motion? If not, so
question. Point of order.
Point of order.
About the proceedings tonight. So
about the
proceedings from now.
Yes,
we
so
put Mr. Parker off until
we that there are only two more public items to be considered. One was Mr. Parker's deputation, one was a deputation from the football club. Which may or may not be in a similar vein. If we go into confidence, then it would be highly difficult technologically to come out of confidence for the football deputation. So there are two ways of doing it. We could, and probably the appropriate way, if the motion is passed, would be to hold Mr. Parker there, bring on the football club rep, and if that's in order, it is carried on in public, and then we proceed into a confidential session, and at that point we hear from Mr. Parker, who maybe should canvass any issues he likes in confidence. So that would be the logical sequence arising. So it's been moved and seconded. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So, Mr. Parker, because we're in open session at the moment, we're going to invite you to come back in a short while. As a participant in a confidential meeting, I presume, before you go, that I presume that staff have your mobile number so that we can make any arrangements.
Well, we could actually, if we deal with the rest of the public staff, we could then remove the public from this meeting, lock the meeting for just the deputations,
in
back, and then move into the confidential.
Well, I'm aware that the football deputation is wished to take place in public.
Yes,
so
that I can, that's when we stay.
So we just switch to the football delegation now. So Mr. Parker, once we go into a degree of confidential session, we'll invite you back to six more tackles. You, you know, you can have four.
To start again,
and because we do want to hear what you have to say, and for now, just take it easy. We'll invite Mr. Desmond.
Yes.
Yes, we'll invite him to give his deputation publicly.
Do you think it's worth us moving into complete conference football, because they could be discussing?
Well,
the same
Mr. Mode. Desmond has heard this, so he'll be aware.
Okay.
Did also talk with them this afternoon and
check. Right. It's fine. But I mean, it's not always easy for people to understand what's in, what's out. So, and to be fair, Mr. Parker was seeking not to specifically identify people, but he is getting to problems which occurred.
Well,
so
it's pretty tragic.
Order. Let's just carry on. Mr. Desmond, can you hear me?
Yes, Chris. Yes, I can hear you. Yep.
You know the drill. You have 5 minutes. You've heard what just happened there. We subbed out Mr. Parker because he was straying into matters which we thought should be confidential. But you have free rein. So you present how you wish. If things are taken out of your hands, so be it. But otherwise, you've got 5 minutes. leave us some time for questions if you will. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. So obviously, thank you for tonight. My name's Eddie Desmond. I'm the president of the Edwardstown Football Club. I have been for the last 6 years. Just a little bit of an overview of our football club. You know, obviously, we formed in 1919. We're 101 years old, pretty proud and prestigious football club in the community. And the Edwardstown Football Club for all those years has served the community, and it has been a community-based organisation. And we're really proud of that aspect. Like most of other sporting clubs, you know, run on volunteers and members of our of the community. So we've grown as a football club. We saw the opportunity with the new facility and the proposal of the new facility was a great chance for us to, as we were sort of evolving as a football club and growing numbers, a great opportunity with a new facility. It was fantastic. Having our own building, you know, and sort of having to lose that independence, but we were willing to embrace it. It is a magnificent facility. You know, we can't question, you know, what we have there. We're pretty lucky in regards to a lot of other sporting clubs. But it was a great opportunity for us to grow our football program. So in 2016, we had 247 boys and girls. Nowadays, we have 450 heading into next season. And that also, on top of that, we've got 80 Oz kickers, which is a fantastic program. You know, to run our junior football program, it consists of 130-plus volunteers. We have over 100 girls participating for next year in our programs after introducing girls football teams in 2017. You know, so we'll have over 20 teams in season 21, plus the 80 Oz kickers. And, you know, our senior program has also evolved with four teams, including a women's side, which we introduced this year, which was a fantastic, you know, having women's football and in the community. I think it's a fantastic concept that the AFL are doing, and I think it's something that we've embraced and everyone else has embraced with that. So with our senior program, we have over 120 players in regards to men and women playing football, most all from the community, local community. To support these sides, we have over 40 volunteers. The club is made up over 600 families within the city of Marion Council. So as you can see, it does represent a big portion of ratepayers. And, you know, like in regards to our financial model, we derive our revenue from memberships and registrations, canteen sales, distribution from bar sales and sponsorship and fundraising. One of the big hits that the club actually took was by losing its independence with its own facility, our major sponsorship with the Morford Arms. It was a massive financial loss for the football club, but it was something that we wanted to embrace with the new facility. You know, reducing the distribution from bar sales will force us to raise our membership and registration fees, which directly hit the pockets of our families and hardworking families. And, you know, and sort of going into the new development, you know, along the football club, along with other affiliates, we were given assurances and guarantees that we would not be financially worse off. Last year, in the 100th year of the football club, we traded at a loss due to teething issues with the facility, obviously resulting in a loss of revenue. We had to borrow funds entering this season, and once City of Marion took over the facility in February, our original agreement was replaced with a new funding agreement, which saw us worse off financially by around $10,000 per annum at a minimum. 2020 was obviously affected by COVID, as we all know, and at present we are still owed quite a considerable amount of money from September of this year from functions that we have had there. You know, we also signed a five-year lease in September, a five-year lease that's dated from the 3rd of February 2020 to the 2nd of February 2025. But, you know, we sat down, we went through the processes, and we've signed that lease, a lease that was issued by the City of Marion by their lawyers. We signed that in good faith. And, you know, we honestly believe that the first 2 years of this facility hasn't shown a true reflection of how this facility can trade and its potential that it has. You know, the football club is wishing, you know, for 21 next year to 25 to continue with the same funding model as this year, you know, with no reduction in any distribution. You know, we have found that once the City of Marion have taken over that facility in February, it's been first class. You know, Andy Sackis, the facility manager, has done a sterling job. He's been a pillar of support for us, especially in such a tough year with COVID and all the protocols that are put in place. Andy has just been a shining light. Toyin's been fantastic. Mark Hubbard's come on board. He's been really, really good. And Ilya's been fantastic. So we found that with that support from the City of Marion, that actually, you know, it's been a really, really, for what it has been this year, it's been an enjoyable year. And we can see the potential that their facility has when, you know, when affiliates and management are working together for the betterment of servicing the community all in all.
I hope you can hear me. Your 5 minutes is up, mate, but this would be an opportunity for elected members to ask concise questions. I'm glad you're here. Eddie, you can perhaps provide some brief factual answers. Let's start with Councillor Crossland.
Thanks, Eddie, and thanks for your words there. I've got three questions for you. I don't know if you're a businessman, but if you were running a loss-making business, what would you do with the business?
I'd have to change the structure. Obviously, I'd have to look at why things aren't happening the way they should be. We feel that the way the facility was managed last year and the way it was operated, there was clear indicators earlier in the piece that things weren't going to plan, and we were trying to solve issues and trying to work with that management at the time to try and betterment. We can see that it wasn't having an assurances and everything that were given, and it was just very, very frustrating. And at the end of the day, if I was a businessman or whatever it may be, it wasn't up to me to then. We felt that we didn't have the power at the time, because the facility was obviously very new and very raw, to make wholesale changes.
Second question.
If you were a shareholder of that loss-making business, what dividend would you get?
Sorry, mate, you cut out on me there. Sorry.
If you were a shareholder and you owned shares in a loss-making business, what share dividend would you expect?
What would I expect? I would expect all the assurances that were given to me. Yes, I would expect, you know, all the guarantees and assurances that were given, I'd expect that in return, yes.
That's a fair answer. What's question three?
Everything in what's respect. Question three, we currently subsidise Edwardstown Sports Club by hundreds of thousands of dollars. That money comes from hard-working families. If we can ask them for another couple of hundred, what excuse do we give them as to why we need more money?
Well, I don't think you could. I honestly don't think you could. I think a lot of families this day and age, you know, there's so many sports and so many expenses with young families, and times are pretty tough out there. We couldn't hit them up for any more money. It would just be a detriment, obviously, to the facility, to the sporting clubs. You just couldn't do it. We have the lowest, one of the lowest fees in football, and we keep them low purposely so people can afford to play or have their, be involved in a community atmosphere and a safe environment for their children. So we could not, you couldn't hit them up for an extra couple hundred bucks, mate, because that would be rude if you asked me. Yeah, so.
Yeah, good comeback, mate. Thank you. That concludes, sorry, Councillor Valescu might have a question. So just listen carefully.
How would you like to increase community use of the facility? What's your vision in how that can be increased? Looking at other things, meals, things like that. What's your vision for that sort of activity?
Well, the football club has its lease from April 1st till September 30th, and within within those months, the football club utilises it every weekend, apart from the June long weekend where everyone has a break for football. But that facility as a football club is used. Trainings are 5 nights a week. Thursday nights, we have the bar open. We have the kitchen open. Friday nights, Saturday home games, Saturday nights, the away games, we come back, we have women's football there when we're away. Sunday, it's a full day, it's a full program with juniors. You know, I mean, if there's a home game, like if we have, say, a home game with a function on a weekend, like myself and other volunteers, it could be up to 75 hours a week for the week. It is a long, long process. But I honestly think that I believe that the football club utilises it to its capacity. We do have plenty of ideas, but obviously with the constraints that we don't have like this time of the year, the football club has to then train elsewhere, costing us up to $180 a night to train at a primary school. We cannot. We've been in constant correspondence with Andy and we sat down with Toyin and Mark and Ilya and trying to utilise it. We can have functions there every month. We can open it up to all our members and all our sponsors and supporters. The way we see it at the moment, bowls are there. They do a fantastic job. But on the oval side of things and the upstairs function rooms, they are not being utilised to their full potential. I honestly feel that the affiliates there, they're not big supported affiliates. They're not a football, they're not a boulder. But there's not much patronage coming through for that 6 months that we as a football club, we can then, like on a nice night like tonight or Thursday night, we can have training on the oval, we can have meals, we can run, and we can open that up to the community and all our members through all our social media channels and promote that. And we've got strategies in place where we want to have 9-a-side competitions to the community, which engages, you know, men, women, boys and girls, consisting of making up one team. We want to run those programs, which will be big draw cards to the facility, which then means obviously people, you know, having a bar open, having meals. We have so many ideas, but unfortunately we are, with the restraints that we have, we can't do anything because there's obviously other affiliates using that oval from October to March. So we've got plenty of ideas and plenty of things that we want to do, but we just can't at the moment. So, you know, we're working with Andy to sort of, obviously with COVID has sort of restricted us with the sort of the functions this year. We've got plenty of ideas to, so we've sort of said, well, because we're at a football season, okay, that doesn't matter. Why can't we have functions in the off season? So, and that's what we want to try and do. But as I said, like we are a little bit restricted with other affiliates who we feel, you know, they are members of the community, that they represent the community. But we feel that we've given independence, we've given away our building, and, you know, this is a fantastic facility. I just think that they should be supporting it a little bit more than they have been and embracing it and trying to create some kind of vibrant atmosphere. And we're here to help with that and to be a part of that. So, yeah.
Thanks, mate. You've got a free kick in the goal square. You kicked it out of the ground. Thank you. And you're still looking for the ball. Any final questions? Thank you. So that concludes your deputation. Thank you, Eddie. And now we're going to deal with some procedural business in public, is the question of when and how we go into confidence with the remaining motions of the evening. And then, at least for part of it, we will go into confidence. And initially, Mr. Desmond will stay on board to listen to Mr. Parker's delegation. We still have Mr. Yeo from the basketball club waiting. I think he was put on call after 8 o'clock, so he's waiting there. Let us deal then with the cover reports. So it might be easier if you even look at the index to confidential items on page 3 of the agenda. So first of all, let's deal with the rescission motion in relation to Edmundstown Soldiers Memorial Ground funding agreements. I've been advised that somebody may wish to move an amendment to this, but I would like to point out that I've had documents come to hand literally just before the meeting from staff, which might give rise to the matter being dealt with in confidence, because we will likely need to discuss litigation that the council believes on reasonable grounds will take place. So I think it probably puts paid to having any limited observation from the clubs when we have that discussion, which I regret. But first of all, you've got a motion for the Edmundstown Soldiers Memorial Ground motion to be discussed in confidence. Do I have anyone to move that way? So Councillor Bilescu is moving that way. Is that seconded? Councillor Masika? Before I go on, is there any amendment to move?
I was going to amend, but given what you have just said about litigation,
Councillor Mason did indicate to me that she wanted the club officials to be able to observe our conversation, but I do have reason, which I'll explain if we do go into confidence, that we probably need to deal with our own internal legal matters before advising the club officials about council's position.
I move a procedural motion.
Procedural motion,
Councillor. So we need to defer this to the new year because you're just going to open up another 2 or 3 hour long can of worms, I suspect. We haven't even got the finances worked out yet.
Well, Councillor, we... order that it's out of order to, well, I suppose you're trying to
defer
put off the confidential. We're only dealing with the confidentiality report. So if we don't deal with that, then we're dealing with a rescission motion without going into confidence. So do you want to hold off until get to the motion? So we're dealing with a motion to go into confidence in relation to the Edmundstown funding issue. There being no amendments, I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour? That's all those against? That's carried by majority. So that means that we will, when we get into confidential matters, we'll hear from Mr. Parker and then we'll deal with that motion. And we'll deal with Councillor Crossland's foreshadowed motion to put it off till next year. But now, while we're in public, we need to go through motions to deal with items in confidence. The next one on the list should really be in relation to the president of the South Adelaide Basketball Club. Is there a confidential motion that's been drafted by staff? And members are aware of the content of the proposal. It clearly relates to the affairs of other organisations. And on that basis, would anyone like to move that we go into confidence for the deputation? The Mayor's agreed to a deputation. Councillor Gard, you're moving that way?
Yes.
Councillor Bilescu, you second him? Yes. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by a majority. So now we will deal with the question of, well, this is where I need your advice. If we're going to deal with the late item, the potential late item on basketball, it is the mayor's call whether we deal with a late item or not. Members have seen the potential motion, but I'm just going to take a straw vote. It's simply a yes or a no, whether you wish to deal with the late item or not.
Are we in confidence now?
We're not in confidence. This is a yes or a no. Do you wish to deal with a late item on basketball or not? Those in favour, raise your hand. Those against, raise your hand. Right, so I'm taking the advice of the councillors and not accepting the late item. So Mr. Yeo can hear that, no doubt, but I'm sure he'll still want to give his deputation. That means we don't have to deal with confidentiality into an item that's not going to be addressed this evening. Can I ask you members to deal with the confidential motions in relation to the minutes of the Review and Selection Committee held on 3rd November, the CEO Annual Performance Review, and the Merion Golf Course. Are you willing to move those en bloc? Councillor Schilling is moving. Councillor Pryor seconding.
This is just a confidential.
To go into confidence when we deal with those issues. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Right. Oh, and sorry, LKCC, or just ask for that. I did mean to include that when the motion was put. I think that's what Councillor Schilling meant. All those in favour, I'll just check again. Councillor Blescu, just yes. Then the motion's carried unanimously that we will deal with those remaining confidential items in confidence. So Mr. Desmond and Mr. Park, I'm sorry to be tedious, but we have to go through that procedure. We're now going to go into confidence, and it means we have, we'll deal with Mr. Parker first. Now that means we have Mr. Yeo on the line. That's where it's a question mark. We don't have a waiting room as such.
Don't we need to get rid of some people?
Order. The mayor's in charge of getting rid of people. No, thank you, councillor. We're addressing the issue. Thank you, councillor. I'm asking Ms. Thwaites, how feasible is it to drop Mr. Yeo and then bring him back in a few minutes?
If I drop Mr. Yeo, then lock the meeting. He can rejoin, but he'll have to wait until we unlock the meeting to actually join again. So he would be removed from the meeting and he'd need to rejoin and wait.
Can you promote Mr. Yeo so that we can just check on that? Mr. Yeo, I hope you can hear this procedural stuff. I know it's tedious. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. So what we're proposing to do, because we have one other confidential delegation on a separate matter to do with Edwardstown, we're proposing to drop you from the meeting because you're not that information, but then you can, Ms. Thwaites will explain.
Well, if you want to leave the meeting, then I'll lock the meeting and you can then attempt to rejoin the meeting. The meeting will be locked, so you just have to wait until we unlock the meeting to be let back in. Does that make sense?
That does. Can I ask, is it as simple as just send me a text when you want me to log back in, or do I just keep trying periodically until such time as I come back in?
That's a brilliant solution. No wonder you're president.
Yes, I've got your number, so I can do that.
We will do that. We will text you probably a little over 5 minutes and ask you to rejoin the meeting. Thank you.